Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Bill Podcast, episode 773. I'm your Surreal Gerald Quinn as I discuss another scintillating, spectacular episode of Snowfall, season 4, episode 9, Sleeping Dogs. And in this episode, sleeping, you know, was a saying, let sleeping dogs lie. That was not the case in this episode. Those dogs were put to sleep, as we saw over the course of this episode. Look at the themes of this episode. I simply had cleaning up. There was a lot of cleaning up going on over the course of this episode. Again, it reminded me somewhat of, and I got this title from, the greatest television show of all time, The Wire. You remember that episode, season 1, episode 9, or was episode 12? Yeah, 12, yeah. I think it was either 11 or 12. I can't remember. They had 13 episodes that season where it was cleaning up, and it was called cleaning up, and you saw Avon and Stringer kind of tying up loose ends. Well, we see Jerome, we see Franklin, and we see Teddy Mac tying up a lot of loose ends over this course of the episode. Let's get right to it with the best scenes. We begin where we ended with Franklin, Peaches, and Tanase. That is, I've been struggling with that name all season long, but I think it is Tanase. She's explaining herself. She lets Franklin know how and why she chose to betray him. That man boy put in front of her, situation with her brother. And through the course of the scene, she amazingly still tries to active. She still has a soft spot for Franklin, which, of course, at this point, he's completely not buying when he says, you know, that's a cute little story. And then he gets a call. He gets a page from Leon. He gets a page from Leon, tells Peaches to stay with her. And then we see him head out the door. He had no intentions. I didn't think that he was ever, throughout the course of this episode, was going to kill her, as we'll see why, and how he was going to use her for a much bigger plan. And, he screams at her saying, you should have came to me. Listen, Tanase was in a tough spot. You know, your brother's in jail. You are squeezed between these two kingpins in Franklin and also Manboy, who's a maniac, but a carefully organized maniac, not out of control maniac like Scully was. We'll get to that later. We'll get to that later in the podcast, the new Scully. But, you know, she had no choice in many ways. You know, brother's in jail. She's vulnerable as far as, what Manboy can do to her brother at any time. And, you know, Franklin says, you should have came to me. Well, even if she comes to Franklin and lets him know what's going on, remember, Franklin has spent most of this season not exactly in a position of power. As far as soldiers and what have you, he really hasn't. So I can't not necessarily blame Tanase for what she did, because for what she did, considering $100,000, keeping her brother safe. Listen, say what you can say what you want about her, but it almost worked. Franklin lets her live as he goes on, as he would walk out the door to our next scene, where we have Jerome and Franklin. Jerome and Franklin, in the projects. Franklin, of course, is Jerome is, of course, armed for battle, is ready for battle. He left the hospital. He still has a suit on, still had the Easter suit on. And Franklin is trying to desperately convince him to stand down and kind of and let's plan this thing out. If we're going up against Manboy, Jerome doesn't want to hear any of it. Says, you know, every time you steer us in the wrong direction. Of course, we know Franklin is right because Manboy Tanase let Manboy know that Jerome was talking a lot of shit and that they were coming for him. And you remember in previous episode, Manboy said, you know, okay, let them come. It's their funeral. So Manboy is ready for Jerome. Franklin tries to tell Jerome this, but Jerome is not convinced of this. And then Franklin just gets desperate. Remember, Franklin, throughout the course of the season, has been physically compromised. He's been within a cane. Listen, he got shot 3 times. So I'm glad that they did not let that, let his physical his physical limitations kind of creep away as the season went along. Like, I know a lot of television shows that would have had Franklin walking straight by episode 5. No, you got shot 3 times. He's still physically compromised. He challenges Jerome to a fight. This is the genius of Franklin. He knows he can't beat Jerome. He did get off some good shots, considering how big Jerome is. He got off some good shots, but ultimately he took the L and blood come from his mouth, got knocked down. But it was enough. He did enough to convince Jerome, like, hey, if he's willing to fight you, then what does that say about the fact that you shouldn't try to pull this move, that he's willing to go this far to try to prevent you from basically committing suicide yourself by going up against a crew that's armed and locked and loaded and probably has more soldiers than you and is waiting for you. So this was enough to convince Jerome to back down for at least for now and listen to what Franklin's ultimate plan would be. Both actors were tremendous in the scene. You remember, if you go back to season one, it really was Jerome that introduced Franklin to the drug game. So I wonder if that thought crossed Jerome's mind, saying that I probably helped create this monster. And, you know, Franklin says, hey, you know, when you end up dead, I'm going to tell your family I did everything I could do to prevent this. So Franklin at this stage in the season is completely, in terms of mentally, again, physically he's compromised, but mentally he's as sharp as ever. And it showed in this episode. So we see that. Franklin, Jerome and Tanase call Manboy. They set up the meet under a bridge. Manboy is not completely buying it. But again, Franklin proves to be two steps ahead of Manboy. He anticipated that Manboy would not trust Tanase at this point, or would not buy into that story of meeting, would not buy into this, to her story of having him meet Manboy, having him meet Franklin under the bridge, and Franklin introducing Manboy to the plug, to the plug. So Manboy comes by, his three soldiers stop by, pay Tanase a visit. His guys are in the car. He comes up to her apartment by himself, and he immediately, you know, lets her know, listen, I know you're setting me up. I'm going to kill you. Chokes her, pushes her down, chokes her, and, you know, pulls out his gun. But before he can obviously pull the trigger, she stabs him. And you know, you want your wonder, you know, she stabs him in the side. He pulls out his gun before he could even pull the trigger. Franklin comes out, shoots him twice. And as he, you know, man boy walks into a ambush. I'm telling you, man, it don't pay to be a decoy. I'm telling you, as Wanda would, that decoy life is not the life that you want. Because we saw the two decoys in this episode come closer than what you want to come to death, having guns pulled on them. We'll see Wanda later on in this episode be used as a decoy. But Franklin held out as long as he possibly could before Manboy was going to shoot Tanase. He shoots Manboy, and then, you know, basically says, "Look, man, I know how smart you are. I know you wouldn't trust Tanase and wouldn't trust that meeting under the bridge." Says you were always smart, but not as smart as you thought you were. And then Manboy's like, at this point, has two bullets in him, has a stab wound. It's basically like, fuck it, I'm just gonna start talking a bunch of shit. He just calls out everybody. He shits on everybody. He tells Jerome, like, look, you know, you've been letting your nephew run this, and, you know, been at his beck and call. Les Leon says, could my sister stab your man like a Christmas ham? And then he tells Franklin, you know, Jerome basically and Leon that, you know, this, you know, tells Franklin, you're not going to make it out of this. So Manboy got his money's worth. He went out like a G and he got his money's worth in regards to, listen, I'm going to die. I'm just going to talk as much shit as possible before I die. Matter of fact, he tells Franklin, you know, take my life. And then you see Franklin shoot him in the throat. Via, you know, this kind of remind me of when Boardwalk Empire, when Mickey Doyle got shot in the throat by Lucky Luciano, because he couldn't, you know, keep his mouth shut. So he shoots Manboy in the throat, finishes him off, and then has Tanase make it seem like Tanase shot Manboy, and make it seem like gives Tanase the gun to have her prints on it, and gives her a story to tell as far as Manboy being a burglar, and that would of course be a, you know, self defense, justifiable homicide. Of course, the cops would probably care less about another black man being shot in, you know, in the projects. And tells her, you know, in regards to, and of course we see Jerome, before Jerome enters the building, enters her apartment, we see Jerome and Peaches take out three of Manboy's guys with Uzis. Jerome now has turned into the motherfucking Terminator, to say at least. Jerome in this episode was, you know, was ready to kill at every turn. So they take out Manboy's peoples. Manboy is out of the mix. I'll talk more later about the Manboy character, really just brilliantly played by Melvin Gregg Jr. Terrific performance by him. So we get to Khadijah and Scully. Khadijah word gets back to Khadijah that Manboy has been killed. So she ups the bounty on Leon and Franklin. She calls Dallas and Black Diamond, the two hitters, and ups that bounty. She also hits Scully with an ashtray, as Scully has turned into a reformed Christian, where, you know, he's basically turned into a housewife, Mr. Mom. Like Scully is up there, you know, buying groceries, getting groceries, putting up groceries, complaining to Khadijah about, you know, why you didn't get the name brand. I mean, Scully hasn't touched a gun, hasn't touched drugs in about five episodes. So she's like, she's basically calling him soft, says, you know, tells her, you got to get that hate out your heart. And basically they're like, she's like, you know, you're not with, you know, she says you got to get that hate out your heart. And they, at this point, are clearly not on the same page. As she is in her, you know, her murder, you know, she's in complete, in total murder mode and revenge mode, while Scully, again, is just kind of, you know, scaled back. Scully is calm now. He's not getting high, buying groceries. I mean, you know, he's putting, cleaning up the house. Like the character arc of Scully in this season has been, it's just been remarkable. It has been phenomenal, remarkable. I've never seen a character arc like this within a season of such a hardened criminal kingpin, now reformed in the same. I've just never seen anything like this. So it's been fascinating to watch episode in and episode out, what they're doing with the Scully character. So we get to Franklin Black Diamond, Franklin Dallas Black Diamond, Wanda, and Jerome. So Wanda, of course, was used as a decoy. She comes into the strip club. She tells Black Diamond in Dallas, I know where Leon's at. I know where Leon's at. I want revenge on Leon because he let her go after she took a bullet for him. And by the way, it was a perfect story. It was a perfect. It was a convincing story. Like, and we know Dallas and Black Diamond are not the brightest. They're just hired guns. They're not thinking on that type of level of being set up. They just want the money. They are hired guns, to say the least. So they fall for the trick. They fall for Wanda's bait, for the bait. So they fall for the bait. They're met up by Jerome and Franklin. And, you know, Wanda is at this point, one of them puts a gun to Wanda's head. Franklin is able to talk them out of it in terms of making a deal with them, saying, listen, y'all are basically hired hands. We want to make you full-time employees. We have all the money in the world. And in Franklin's words, more money than God. And he tosses a knot of cash on the car towards them. And they are officially, you know, listen, they're loyal to the money. Like they're Khadijah, they are the type, they're not close to Khadijah. They're close to Khadijah based on the money that she's paying. So these girls are not like, it wasn't a situation where they, had any loyalty towards Khadijah. They were loyal to the money that Khadijah was paying them. So they betrayed Khadijah. And now we'll see how that plays out. So we get to Irene and Alton at the radio station. So even after a threat, even after being threatened by Franklin, even after being, you know, put to sleep by Teddy in the last episode, Irene just will not shut up. She goes to a radio station and she spews out her story and the contents of her story over the radio station. Alton has, of course, a connection with one of the ex-Panthers who have this radio, this radio gig and this radio show. And, you know, she, of course, Teddy Mac, along with Gustavo, hears this, and this enrages him. But listen, Irene absolutely just had it coming. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. She just can't shut up. And, we'll see what this leads to. So Franklin, Leon, Jerome, Khadijah, Dallas, Black Diamond, they call to Khadijah. Black Diamond and Dallas call Khadijah, and to let her know that they got Leon. Khadijah pulls out the gun, straps up, tells Scully, like, hey, let's go. Scully's like, nah. Scully's like, basically refuses and says, and then Khadijah makes a threat towards him, saying, look, if you're not down with this, then we don't have anything else to talk about, basically. So she gives him basically just basically threatens him with basically leaving him or not dealing with him. And at this point, it's seemingly like Khadijah is calling the shots. Now, maybe she's not running the business in terms of street business and drug deals and stuff like that in terms of Scully's business. But as far as running as far as in terms of who is wearing the pants in the house, it is without question Khadija at this point. So she leaves her place and heads to a trap. She walks into the door, walks into the room, sees Leon, hands behind his back. And then of course we see Franklin and Jerome come out. Franklin and Jerome come in. And of course, at this point, she knows it's a trap. And Leon, now before anything pops off, you see Leon again apologize directly towards her about her daughter, about killing her daughter. And of course, we know it was, you know, we know that Leon has still been haunted all season about the killing of a 5-year-old. And, you know, in this moment, Khadija's like, look, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to haunt you forever. And Leon's basically begging her, listen, I'm trying to give you an out here. And she says, you know, basically says no. There's no negotiation. And then, bam, you have Jerome putting a bullet in her back. Leon was kind of taken back. Leon was kind of surprised. Like, I don't know if Leon expected him to kill her. I think Leon went in. Of course, Franklin and Jerome from the start of the episode knew they were going to kill her, or had planned to kill her once. And by the way, this idea came, the idea to use her peoples against her came from Louis in the hospital. So Franklin got this idea from Louis in the hospital. So Jerome and Franklin completely expected to kill Khadija. I think Leon came in hoping that she would take a deal as far as maybe money, compensation for money, and take a way out of this. I'm not sure if Khadija says, you know what, I'll take the bounty's done, but I'm not sure if Jerome and Franklin were ever going to consider letting her walk away in spite of this. I think at this point we were past the point of no return. I mean, they've killed her brother and her daughter, you know, accident or not, like that. And they are mortal enemies to her boyfriend. I mean, they're still enemies of Scully, even though Scully has kind of, you know, went into Mr. Mom mode. So I don't ever envision a scenario where Khadija was going to live, they were going to be able to come to some type of agreement and Khadija lives. I just didn't see that happen. So Khadija gets shot in the back. We see that, of course, we see that Scully, you know, identifies her at the morgue. So I think that we certainly did, to me, I feel like they're gonna move this plot line into season 5. I don't see, based on the previews of next episode, I don't think Scully will play a major role in terms of next episode. And we'll talk more about that. So we go to Irene and Teddy at the bar. Teddy says his goodbyes to Gustavo. Says, it seems like, and it was kind of a little bit unclear. I don't know if Teddy is on the outs of the CIA. But that is all. There's some indication that Teddy, you know, that they've done something, that Teddy's suspended or something to where that he's disconnected from the CIA. Now, I don't think he's completely on the outs in terms of the CIA. So. But he says his goodbyes to Gustavo, tells Gustavo, look, you know, take it easy. And we see Teddy go to the bar, meet Irene at the bar, tells Irene, I'm ready to talk. Fuck the CIA, where you have a tape recorder on you. And, you know, she pulls out the tape recorder and she basically says, and the minute The minute he says, I need a drink for this, you knew what time it was. So he goes to the bar, gets two drinks. Now, we don't see him put something in the drink, but I'm going to say that I'm going to assume that he drugged that drink. But they go back to the bar. He starts spilling, you know, all the tea as far as what's going on and his position and things of that nature, started in 1983 and all that. The tape recorder's on. They get drunk. Irene drives, and we see Irene drive and crash the car. And we see Teddy, she falls asleep at the wheel. She crashes into a truck. And she's still alive, but Teddy suffocates her and takes the tape recorder and then plants pills in her bag as to make it seem like she mixed alcohol with drugs. And of course, by the way, she's an alcoholic anyway. So I'm sure through investigations that the fact that it's not going to be a shock that she got into an accident drunk and driving, considering I'm sure she has a reputation for drink, for being a heavy drinker regardless. So it kind of fits perfectly for Teddy from that standpoint. Listen, there was no way that he was going to let Irene live. Teddy, again, is in pure scramble mode at this point. His mission the mission in Nicaragua, of course, has been compromised. He had a conversation with Avi. Avi basically says, listen, there'll be other wars, other missions. You need to kind of, you know, regroup and kind of like almost quit while you're, you know, not ahead, but almost kind of just kind of take a step back. And, you know, Teddy says, yeah, I'm leaving, but I just got one more thing to do. So that was also a scene between those two. So we go to Franklin and Teddy at the hospital, and basically, you know, Teddy asked Franklin about it, you know, his father. This is right before he basically kicked his father out the hospital for visiting Sissy. And of course, Alton is still in town. He has not left to Cuba yet. But and also there was another scene that showed Alton, as soon as Alton saw the news about Irene, that he was packing up, and left out the room quickly. But Franklin and Teddy are at the hospital, and mainly the discussion is about Franklin's, about what are we going to do about your father. And that's where, and basically the episode wraps up that question. And of course, that is going to, without question, drive the season finale. As far as themes, again, cleaning up, we saw Franklin, Teddy, and Jerome just, you know, tie up some loose ends and basically get rid of some things, get rid of some people that, that had been their nemesis throughout the course of this season, in terms of Khadijah, Man Boy, and also Irene. Teddy and Gustavo part ways. We talked about that. Rest in peace, Man Boy and Khadijah. Two great villains. I mean, especially as a brother and sister. I mean, has there ever been a better brother sister villains in on television in recent memory? I can't think of them. I cannot think of a better brother sister villains. I mean, these, you know, it's really, you know, these two actors were brilliant. I don't know. I don't know who plays Khadijah. I forget her name. Melvin, of course, Melvin Gregg Jr. plays Man Boy. But it just goes to show you, you know, it's really a sad story considering what they grew up into. And basically, these are two characters who were born into the game, who were born into violence, born into the gang culture, they had no choice. They had zero choice. And we see what comes out of it, and we see the cost of, you know, of their particular choices and decisions. You know, Khadija loses her daughter, loses her brother, then of course, you know, loses her own life. So from that standpoint, again, these two characters were great characters. You almost hate that they had to kill them, but they had to go. There's no way that you can continue, their storylines could continue into season five and have it make sense. So these are two characters that had to go. Again, but two great characters, wonderful performances by the respective actors. Especially Man Boy. You know, that character, that guy, Melvin Gregg, certainly is going to get some more work. All coming off this performance over the past couple of seasons. So MVP, Franklin and Jerome, I think that scene alone was a MVP performance. Franklin could be MVP every episode, you know, Damson Idris is just that good. But Jerome, I meant to give Jerome MVP last episode, so this is kind of a makeup MVP. But Jerome is now turned into the Terminator. And that scene, you know, embodied that scene where they get into a fight, kind of embodied their relationship. You kind of get the sense that Jerome has been wanting to fight Franklin for a long time now, especially after he found out what they've been through Louis when they went to Arkansas, what they were involved with the CIA, that Franklin had kind of been hiding from him. You saw him last episode tell Leon, you know, fuck Franklin. So this kind of was a buildup towards that. And of course, Franklin is going to do, you know, basically takes an ass whooping in order to protect his uncle. So it is these two were the MVP without question. There was also one scene I left out now it's come to my mind. It was a scene between Sissy and Jerome that also could have been under best scenes. Basically, Sissy says, you're my brother. I don't want to see anything happen to you. And Jerome basically says, we're at the point of no return. This is it. We're in this. there's no turning back. So that was a poignant scene between those two characters who have gone through a lot as brother and sister, and who have spent. You know, parts of this series on opposite sides of the fence, especially with the direction that Franklin has gone into during this series. So that is the episode. Again, the series finale is seemingly because there's a season five. The season finale is called Fight or Flight. So I'm assuming, you know, that is the question of, you know, will Franklin fight Teddy Mac, or will he, you know, choose to run away and leave, or they're speaking for Alton. It's going to be that episode is going next week's episode will be a Frank will be a Franklin Teddy Alton episode. And all the indications from the previews indicates that Alton and Teddy are going to be going at it, and Franklin's going to be kind of caught in the middle of this. And we can listen. He's going to choose his father over Teddy Mac. So it'll be. I don't know what's going to happen in that episode. Should be a spectacular episode, but this episode was legitimately a top five Snowfall episode of all time. Yeah, I did want to address one thing. I saw something on Twitter last night that was disturbing to say the least. And people, we are in a microwave, live in the moment culture where we just started talking out, we'll just start talking out of our asses when we see something that we like in terms of a great show or even in sports. Well, someone, you know, Mal, formerly of the Joe Budden podcast, and it's not taking shots, but he's no longer with the Joe Budden podcast, posted saying that he thought that Snowfall was better than The Wire. And that just set Twitter ablaze. I mean, the Wire Nation. I didn't know there was a Wire Nation. If you didn't think that it was a Wire Nation, the Wire Nation came out in full splendor last night, early this morning, with that comment. I just did a podcast with in terms of The Wire remix, and we watched The Wire. There's no comparison between Snowfall and The Wire. The Wire is the greatest television show of all time. It's not even close, in my opinion. You kind of disrespect Snowfall. When you make that type of comparison, you kind of take away from Snowfall. Let's just celebrate Snowfall for being right now the best show on television. Is Snowfall better than Power? Absolutely. And I love Power, but that's not even close. It's a far superior show to Power. So if I want to make those comparisons, then go ahead. But this is a far superior show to Power. But as far as comparing it to like a Breaking Bad, no, it's not comparing it to The Wire, no. Like, you know, writing, performances, story arcs, things of that nature. Like, no, I'm sorry. And listen, I love this show. I'm doing a podcast on this show weekly. That tells you what I think about this show. But let's not do that. Let's not make that comparison. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. This podcast will be up as soon as possible. Have a great rest of your evening. I'll see you next time.